always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'll let my colleague Chip Roy here in a moment get into the specifics of the SAVE Act, but I want to address why we need this legislation. And that is the threat of non-citizens and illegal aliens voting in our elections. In the last 5.5 months or so, I've been to over 101 cities doing events all around the country in more than half the states. The first or second question that I am asked in every public forum is about election security. And due to the wide open border that the Biden administration has refused to close, in fact, that they engineered to open, we now have so many non-citizens in the country that if only 1 out of 100 of those voted, they would cast hundreds of thousands of votes.
5:06 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. And Tim, I got to tell you, for someone who has really been on this issue of non-citizens voting since the beginning, 2019, I can remember when this was brought to my attention. I was like, mm-hmm. I've never heard of this. This is not happening. You're crazy. And being told that initially in the early stages, days of this, that this is not an issue, this is crazy. To see this at this point, to see the Speaker of the House proposing a law and having a press conference on this has got to warm the cackles of your heart like it does me and Becky.
It absolutely does. And I was really excited to see the leader of the State Freedom Caucus Network, Andy Roth, who is that's the group I officially work for the Missouri Freedom Caucus. He was right there at the press conference today, and someone said, the State Freedom Caucus Network with the speaker, is that's a little weird. I said, well, look, I mean, we don't hate the Speaker of the House, and we like Mike Johnson. We wish he could do more conservative things. But when he comes up with a good idea like this, kind of like you were talking about, Chris, earlier, we're going to stand with him. And I know everybody's excited to stand with the Speaker on this. This is a huge issue. This is a winning issue, not just for Republicans. This is not a partisan issue. This is something, Chris, as you and Becky knows, is hugely popular with a super majority of the American people. Only citizens should vote in our elections. And when people say, well, that's the case already. No, it's not. There are places in California and New York and Chicago where they are offering illegal aliens the opportunity to vote. They're doing it very surreptitiously. They're doing it in a very deceptive way with different things like driving cards and things like that. But they are absolutely, the left is absolutely trying to make sure that non-citizens can vote. So it's very important in Missouri and nationally we do this. I couldn't be happier for the speaker. I'm really glad he moved this bill forward. And I believe the U.S. House Freedom Caucus stood with him on this today as well.
That's a good deal. The argument that people always say this is not an issue and everything. Uh-huh. And our counter always is, well, you know, this, there may be no instances of this or very little instances of this, but why not nip it in the bud before it happens? Or you'll get the argument that, well, our state statute says that non-citizens can vote. Well, you know, statutes can be changed. You can get a very liberal majority into your state legislature. They can change that law and allow non-citizens to vote. It needs to be codified into the state constitutions. And that's what we work for diligently at Americans for Citizen Voting. I've rejoined the organization, Tim. I'm now a national spokesperson.
Awesome.
So that's our work.
Yep, it's great work indeed. And you know, Chris, if it's not a big deal, then why does the left care, right? If their argument is it's duplicative or it's repetitive, you know what? It never hurts to do it never hurts to do the right thing two or three times over again, because we do a lot of wrong things in this country these days. So let's just button it up and button it all down. And look, it is a problem. They had to litigate a case all the way up to the Court of Appeals in the state of New York recently on this. So it's absolutely being attempted. implemented, and it needs to be stopped.
And it is happening. I mean, Washington, D.C. tried to pass a, or was that New York? One or both of them have both tried to pass statutes to allow non-citizens to vote. We've talked about this on one of our Chris's Corner, that there is a non-citizen, hardly person that can barely speak English, a Chinese immigrant who is on the election board. And she's a non-citizen. There are instances all around this country and liberal places that are allowing non-citizens to vote, from Maryland, all on the East Coast, some of the cities there. So it is happening. This is something that does need to be nipped in the bud, and because the longer that you let this go on, the argument that they make, well, these people are here legally, they're, you know, they've got green cards, their kids are going to schools, they should be involved in how their tax money is spent. You keep letting that argument fester and fester like that, you're going to start getting people saying that are agreeing with that.
Yes, citizens of the United States of America should be the ones running the United States of America. They should be the ones voting. They should be the ones elected. We shouldn't have some kind of globalist New World Order just because it makes somebody feel good. Then you lose your national identity. You lose it that way, and you lose it by having no borders. So the open borders policy, the let everybody vote, no matter they're a citizen or not, policies of the Biden administration, those are their policies. It's exactly what they're orchestrating. Those are the ones that lead to the downfall of nations.
Tim, before you start the speaker's stump speech, remind us again what the topic is.
Yes, we're going to talk about why the Trump trials are nothing but trash.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the speaker's stump speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Found a great little article today in the Spectator world, spectator.co.uk. Why is it that our good friends across the pond seem to understand what's actually going on in national politics and public policy better than our national corporate media? Maybe it's because they're telling the objective truth. Found this great little nugget of a story. It's a very brief story, but I think it encapsulates everything that's wrong with the Stormy Daniels hush money trial that's going on, that is being orchestrated by the lunatic left, perpetuated by a I'm going to get Trump at all costs prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, and basically promoted by the national corporate media. Check this out. The author is a great fellow by the name of Freddie Gray, deputy editor of The Spectator. He asks, why did Stormy Daniels testify in court yesterday about her allegedly sexual encounter with Donald Trump? I mean, that's what the left wants to make the crux of the case. Let's see what the response to that is, according to Freddie Gray. Freddie continues, he answers the question. Anybody who has followed the Donald Trump story in recent years will have heard most of Stormy's account of her interactions with him by now. Daniels has a sense of humor. Like many others, she enjoys mocking Trump in public. And in our licentious, yet strangely puritanical times, details such as the porn star spanking the 45th president with a rolled up copy of Forbes magazine are just too much to resist. Sorry if you got kids in the car. That's my editorial comment. Freddie continues, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Nobody seems to care much. Veracity and justice are not what this trial is about. The case bodged, I like that word, bodged together as it is by the flagrantly partisan prosecutor Alvin Bragg, is meant to be about what? The falsification of business records for the purpose of concealing a crime. Quite what that crime is, folks, after 4 weeks, we cannot be too certain. We don't still know. The prosecution seems to be keeping that under wraps. You know, this is my editorial comment for a minute. As a former prosecutor, that's grounds to me for mistrial or appeal, and if there is a conviction, for overturning that conviction. Folks, there's not supposed to be surprises in 2024 American jurisprudence, especially in a criminal case. When I was a criminal prosecutor, I had to turn over everything to defense attorneys. The law hasn't changed, okay? If anything, we have more rights for criminal defendants now than we did when I was a practicing prosecutor in the 90s. I also practiced criminal defense law. As a criminal defense attorney, you get all that stuff. You get exculpatory and you get inculpatory evidence, stuff that would mainly lead to a finding of guilt or a finding of not guilty. So, okay, back to the article. The case does not center on whether or not Donald Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels, despite what you all may be thinking because of all the coverage. But the judge allowed it all to be said because, well, when there's so much fun to be had at Trump's expense, when you can reveal a part of his past that is a man seeking to return to the White House you'd rather not dwell on, why not? Trump's legal team demanded a mistrial. Chris and I talked about that yesterday. Judge Juan Merchan rejected those appeals, though he admitted the jury had heard things they should not have. Ooh, grounds for appeal there. And that the witness was, quote, difficult to control. The judge almost seems to be reveling in it, though. Trump denies the allegations. Stormy says it's all true. Believe who you want. But we should try to be honest about what this trial actually was supposed to be about. This is a political hit job instead dressed up as justice. It brings up something that hurts Trump with women voters, his former playboy life, his adulterous behavior, the unsuitability of his character for high office. It reminds the world that in the opinion of some, he is a ridiculous choice for president. But legally, it's nonsense. It's not a genuine attempt to establish whether or not Trump committed business fraud in his attempts to cover up a story that might have harmed his chances of becoming president. It's an attempt to embarrass Trump and possibly give Joe Biden the chance to call him a convicted felon, because, folks, that's what this is all about, in time for the election on the 5th of November. The only real concession that the judge made to Trump's legal team in relation to Daniels's puerile testimony was that he would not allow any question about Trump's genitals. Well, wasn't that big of him? Really, though, any tacit attempt to suggest this is a legitimate criminal trial only serves to prove that it is not. That's Freddie Gray in The Spectator, and that's today's Speaker's Stump Speech. There you go. The Trump trial is trash.
Boy, you know, I wish that there was some way that I could save my brain, do that cryogenic thing, and come back to life 110 years, 150 years from now, and just imagine what the historians are going to say about this time period of our history. Ugh. Where we reverted to a banana republic and had four trials against a former president of the United States who was running for election in the same year. I just can't wait to see. And hopefully there are some unbiased historians, Tim, by that time. But I just can't wait to see how they are going to record this history.
Won't that be wild? Won't that be wild? Hey, Chris, we got a big shout out on Twitter from one of our super fans, and it's a shout out to producer Joey V as well. Mary Hill on Twitter. Thanks so much, sorry. Mary. She hit us up and she said, the memes of you and Chris Arps are absolute gold. So a big shout out there to producer Joey V. He spins gold every day.
He is Thank the you, man. Joey. And hi, Mary Hill. I saw Mary Hill at the state convention this week, and always good to see her.
Yeah. Wonderful lady. Mm-hmm. She is.
Okay, Tim, Levi Hart, Senior Investment Manager at Thrive St. Louis. He is up next. We will talk to him about Giving Day St. Louis that is upon us. They have won the award every year for the last seven years.
And that's remarkable.
They have won the Thrive for 8 years in a row. We'll talk to Levi Hart from Thrive about that. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I didn't realize I did, but I have the distinction of being the first president or vice president to ever visit a reproductive health clinic. When I went to that reproductive clinic, it was a long day, and the press was there, and I said, let me just tell you, you guys are going to have to be ready for this, ready for certain language. And I said very loudly, ovaries.
Fallopian tubes.
Fallopian tubes, right?
Uterus.
Fibroids.
Thank you.
And it was the funniest thing for me, at least. The women reporters started laughing. All the men reporters looked down.
5:24 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And Tim, I think that is exhibit number 127, proving that our vice president, either tokes, back in the White House or either uses edibles. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what she's on, but it's gotta be something. I'm not sure if it's good or not.
And when, can you imagine she's sitting there like, all giddy about talking about abortion and everything. It's almost sick.
Disturbing.
In studio with us, Tim. I thought he was going to be on the phone. He surprised us. We have Levi Hart. He is the Senior Investments Officer Manager at Thrive St. Louis, and we're going to talk to him about the organization, of course, and Give St. Louis Day, which is tomorrow, May 9th. Levi, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent.
Tim,
excellent.
You as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we get into everything else, let's talk about Give STL Day, which is tomorrow. Thrive has won this every year for the last 7 years. You guys are trying to do number 8. Tell us about that. And if you want to give away the secret on how you guys do it, let's hear that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's been really crazy, guys. So, I mean, speaking of Planned Parenthood, that's what got us into Give STL Day. So, you know, 8 years ago, you know, they were, you know, in the running to win the thing. And one of our partners got a hold of us and said, hey, did you guys know about Give STL Day? You need to get in on it. Planned Parenthood is in the running here. So we got in, we got a hold of all of our partners and said, hey, here's what's up. We want to win this. We want to give the babies the loudest voice in the city and wave the life banner high over St. Louis. And everybody got on board with it. You know, and that's what we've done consecutively the last 7 years, which is really amazing, guys. I mean, this is no small event. You know, I mean, there's 1,000 of the top nonprofits in St. Louis participating. So, I mean, the secret sauce really is our partners. You know, I mean, it's organizations like you guys having us on and being able to, you know, come to folks and let them know, like, hey, this is a chance to give the babies the loudest voice in the city, the one time a year to do it. And that's what we're doing right now.
Quick follow-up, Tim. And how much money have you raised?
Yeah, so last year was $284,000 on Give STL Day. And there's a double match right now. So, I mean, you go on there. What's cool is someone goes on, they give $1,000, give $50, give $100, whatever it is, you're going to see it double matched.
Mr. Speaker?
That is really fantastic. Yeah, folks, check out Thrive at thrivestlouis.org, thrivestlouis.org. Levi, how wonderful is that, and how destructive of the national narrative, right? The national narrative and the narrative of the left and most of the corporate media is that we're an abortion culture now, and when we talk about women's health care, basically that's just code language for abortion on demand. Thrive destroys both those narratives, right? Because you just showed that, no, the culture of life is something that more people are attracted to. And, you know, when people put their money where their mouth is, that means a lot. And secondly, Thrive provides women's health care, and it's not in the abortion industry. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's who we are. I mean, we just say Thrive for short, but it's Thrive Express Women's Health Care. Because our goal is to meet the woman and the, you know, her partner as well, that are in crisis pregnancy situations, and meeting them right where they're at. So just being Thrive Express Women's Health Care does that, you know, because the abortion industry has falsely branded itself as women's health care. So they come in and we offer them, you know, what we call pre-abortion screenings, you know, so they're going to get a lab grade pregnancy test with a medical professional, STD test, STD treatment, ultrasound, all these things that are going to cost them several hundred dollars at Planned Parenthood. And they come, they're able to get that from us first. And then from there, we go about giving them, you know, financial, emotional, spiritual resources. And over 80% of them choose to parent.
I went to a graduation ceremony or an award ceremony a couple of years ago. It was about a young lady that was going to college, was doing all the right things, unfortunately got pregnant. It kind of derailed her a little bit for her studies, but Thrive stepped in, helped her with all the needs for her baby. She ended up finishing school.
Yeah.
Tell us some more stories like that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's so many of them. Some of the ones that are most fresh for me is we've been launching our fatherhood initiative. Okay. So I shared with Mike and Gabe and Stell last week, you know, 83% of women will choose to parent if there's a supportive father in the picture. So I'm our investments manager, but I also have the chance of working with our dads. You know, so you have these abortion determined, you know, partners coming in, the mom and the dad are coming in. But if you can meet that dad where he's at, and you can see him empowered to be a father, you're typically going to see the whole thing shift. So, I mean, I was just sitting down with a young man this was just earlier this week, coming in, you know, and he's not from here. He's not from this country. And, you know, he's in school and he's thinking like, okay, he's not seeing any other way out. You know what I mean? Cause they're not thinking through killing a baby. You know, like that, like they're thinking through, like, this is just birth control.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what's being sold to them. You know, so to be able to meet them where they're at and let them know, like, hey, here's some resources that are going to be able to help you. You know, here's a parent university class you're going to be able to go through for a whole year to teach you the ones and twos of being a parent. Mm-hmm. I walked them down to our resource shop. I said, let me show you what would be available to mm-hmm. you. Here's diapers for an entire year at least that you're going to be able to get. You know, here's a pack and play. Here's a car seat. You know, so when you can start meeting those practical needs, it's amazing to watch the shift happen. And Chris, Tim, I'm telling you guys, I mean, like, over 80% of women will choose to parent when they just see an ultrasound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, which at Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood, what we typically hear say is that, you know, they're not seeing that ultrasound. You know, mm-hmm. we show it to them.
Yeah.
You know, most of them will choose to parent. But there's a difference between choosing to parent simply because they realize it's a baby and because they've been empowered as well. You know, so instead of just like they've seen an ultrasound, it's like, oh, it's a baby. Oh my gosh, but I'm still just terrified. I'm not equipped, you know, because that's kind of the push you get from folks, like, oh, well, you just want to save the baby. Like, no, you empower them as a parent so that when they do see that it's a baby, they actually are empowered to be a parent rather than just terrified that they have to bring a child into a world, you know, because mm-hmm. they have this moral conflict going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Folks, Give St. Louis Day, Give STL Day is tomorrow, May 9th, and tomorrow. You can go to thrivealivestl.org, thrivealivestl.org. Levi, I love so much of what you said. You know, Chris and I are often in the narrative busting business, and you just busted a couple other narratives there. The narrative being that those of us on the right side of the life equation, I think I mean the pun there, that all we care about is having the baby be born, and then we couldn't care less. You just described a bunch of things that show that that's not to be true. And the other thing is, Levi, you know, Thrive is not just, you know, a small little entity in one little area of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. This is for women in St. Louis and beyond, right? Your resources, because of your generous donors, are vast and wide, right? So anybody who's happening to accidentally or purposefully listen to us right now needs help, they can reach out to Thrive today, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and really take that to heart, you know, because I think the statistic is like 1 in 4 people have been touched by abortion one way or the other, you know. So even those who morally are thinking like, I would never do that, you know, you just never know, like whether it's your mm-hmm. kid or your friend or whatever it might be, you know. So, I mean, be careful about what we're saying. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, like, we want to say, like, hey, this is wrong, you know, but we want to make sure that those who are around us that are in that situation would feel good to come talk to you. So, I mean, yeah, they can definitely reach out to us. So we got centers in the city. We got one in St. Peter's. We got one in North County. We even have one in the Metro East over in Godfrey. Then we have centers throughout the country as well. But for the sake of our St. Louis listeners, that's mm-hmm. what we got going on here.
Levi, I know that Thrive is a Christ-inspired organization. It has to be to mm-hmm. Do what you're doing to save babies' lives. Besides providing these mothers with material needs, does Thrive offer Christian counseling as well?
Yeah, so we offer that as an option to mm-hmm. them. So what it will look like when the patient advocate's figuring out basically like what has them in a crisis right now? What's got them feeling like the only way out is an abortion,
right?
You know, so that's where we'll start meeting all those various needs through some of those things I was talking to you about a moment ago. And a lot of times it is a spiritual crisis that's going on there, you know, so we'll meet them at where they're at with that. And we're very careful and gentle about it. We're not trying to manipulate or coerce sure. in any way, especially when someone's in a real hard situation. So it'll be something along the lines of, hey, we want to care for you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We do that from the Christian worldview. Is your faith something you want to talk about?
Hmm.
And when they, if they say yes, which a lot of them do,
sure.
you know, like, it's really amazing how many people, I mean, this could go into an evangelism conversation for my believers out there, but how many people would be happy to talk to you about their faith if you just ask them?
Yeah.
You know, cause people are typically happy to talk about themselves and their own beliefs. So if you can, like, I mean, guys, I was in Haiti one time and did that with a voodoo priest and it worked. Like I'm telling you, you can do it with people in a post, you know, post Christian society. So we do that. I mean, and yeah, I mean, we see, you know, at least 100 professions of faith a year, guys. That's folks that are coming in and a lot of times looking for abortions. And next thing you know, they want to have a spiritual conversation mm-hmm. and they're choosing to surrender their life to Jesus. I mean, of the last 3 guys I've talked to just in the last 2 weeks, one of them in tears,
mm-hmm.
repented of his sin, gave his life to the Lord. Another one from another country of a different religion, Hindu, you know, and you could tell like God's really moving on him. And then I'm just talking to a young man yesterday, a young man just brought up in the city and in a real hard spot. And I get to talking to him, and before you know it, you know, he's ready to have some deeper conversations. And it was clear that God was, had already been working on his heart before he was sitting in front of
right.
me.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff.
Levi, would you talk about kind of where our current younger generations are on the issue of life? You know, I think, I feel like over the last few decades, we went through a really challenging time of hyper secularism and hyper materialism with the rise of the internet age and all this technology, and people almost, you know, becoming almost too self-centered and kind of losing focus on the bigger picture. But Chris and I have both been to a lot of Thrive events recently and a lot of other pro-life events. And I don't know if this is my imagination, Levi, so you tell me if I'm right or wrong or not. I'm starting to see a lot more younger people being attracted to, once again, kind of that focus on life, the hereafter, the greater good. And I think the younger generations are starting maybe possibly turn away from some of this hyper materialism, secularism, because it hasn't solved any problems in our world or in our nation, and it's made things possibly worse.
Yeah. You know what, Tim? I mean, we were just at the Midwest March for Life in Jeff City last week, and it was the biggest crowd I had personally seen there yet. And many and much of that because there was high schools there, you know, and a ton of students. So that is certainly my hope, you know, that is what is happening. You know, because we look at our society right now, and like perhaps it is that it's just gotten so dark, and it just keeps, you know, just getting harder and harder in such a way, especially with social media and the internet. Like things just are just driving them to the depths of things that, you know, you would hope that if anything, that's going to turn them one way or the other, but hopefully turn them towards hope, towards truth, you know, and be able to start spotting just really obvious lies. Because like, I mean, you put something to the test, you're going to find out what it is, you know, when you just live it out here for a little while. So, you know, other than just being at that Jeff City event, I really can't speak to it much further than that.
Speaking with Levi Hart, he is the Senior Investments Officer and Manager at Thrive St. Louis. We're talking about St. Louis Giving Day, which is tomorrow. We'll talk about how to give to that. My question is, and I have this question for you. I want to get your perspective on it. We had a couple weeks ago Brandy Meeks with the Vitae Foundation. I asked her the question that has always kind of perplexed me is, when a woman finds herself, a young person finds herself with an unexpected pregnancy, why don't they give the baby up for adoption? That seems to not be an option, it seems, in a lot of cases. What's your perspective? Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just having a conversation with a dad in a similar situation the other day. You know, they're abortion determined. You know, that's what they wanted to do. This is the one I was telling you about. They're in school. And I asked him, I was like, well, you know, have you guys considered adoption? And their mindset, like, and he was even, you could tell they had had this conversation. Yeah. The idea of carrying that baby to term and giving it away just seemed like an even harder option than taking its life, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't. And truly, like, as much as I can be, I can gracefully say this, but then, but just as a fellow human being who knows what it is to be selfish, I think it comes down to selfishness on that. You know, like, I mean, that in the moment, it seems like an easy, convenient choice to just have an abortion and this just be over with, as opposed to going through, I mean, even people who want a baby, 9 months of pregnancy typically is not a pretty picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I always feel sorry for these women that are like 8 months pregnant in July.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're like, you know, they have to use their whole leg just to like turn over in bed, you know? So if they're, especially the ones, if they're believing the lie that this isn't a baby, you know, and that's like kind of what is giving them the motivation to make this choice for the abortion, which in the moment just seems like a very convenient way out. I mean, I absolutely see why, if that's what you actually believe, why they wouldn't carry it to term. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it comes to believing the lie and the selfishness that ultimately, you know, drives that, because it's selfishness, you know, and just being clouded in our own situation so much that gets us to do stupid things and believe stupid things.
Right.
Levi, let's come full circle here and let's remind folks that Give STL Day, Give St. Louis Day, Give STL Day is tomorrow, May the 9th. Why is it so important to Thrive and to our community that people pay attention to this day? Talk about how important this day is to your overall funding picture and how people can help. Once again, give everybody the details.
Yeah, yeah. It is absolutely essential, guys. So this would be the 8th year we've won this thing, which is just absolutely unheard of, you know, because you have over 1,000 top nonprofits in our city that participate. And to win it year after year after year, I mean, one, you're attracting more donors. So by you giving, you're really attracting more donors, too, because they see us on the top of the billboard. So get on Give STL Day and watch that billboard, you know, and watch it throughout the day, you know, kind of the back and forth that happens there. But then secondly, you know, when it, I mean, the PR is priceless.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting Thrive Express Women's Healthcare to be a common household name, which is what needs to happen. Because right now, when someone thinks abortion, they think Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and that's what we've begun to combat in our city already. If you Google, get out your phone and Google abortion right now, Thrive's going to pop up in the top three, top five at worst. You know, and that's because of search engine optimization, different things like that. Sure. Actually, Brandy Meeks and Vitae help with that a lot with us. We partner with them. So that is huge because we need them when they get in that crisis pregnant situation to think Thrive. We need a counter brand. And we have become a counter brand in St. Louis. So that's another reason. Third reason is simply just the funding itself. I mean, we can fund outside of Give STL Day. Obviously, that's what we typically do, you know, but you're able to see the big benefits of going through Give STL Day. But secondly, I mean, if I don't, I'm not this good of a mathematician, but if you take 284,000 and divide it by 1,200, that's literally how many babies were saved out of Give STL Day this year, because it costs us $1,200 to take someone through our entire program to see them choose life and be empowered to go through Parent University for a whole year.
And finally, Levi, in a couple of minutes that we have left, we've had you on the show a few times before, and you told us your story on one of our programs. If you don't mind, tell us your story and how you got involved with Thrive, the whole nine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I've been at Thrive for 4 years. I gave my life to Christ 15 years ago. And it was, well, I guess, yeah, around 14. But it was 9 months after I gave my life to the Lord. Well, actually, sorry, let me rewind on that. So 9 months before I gave my life to the Lord, I had an abortion with my girlfriend at the time. And that's why I can speak to a lot of these things a little bit more personally as well. And probably a little bit more boldly, you know, simply because I know the mindset, you know, and I was that kid, you know, 18, 19 years old that, you know, I mean, I was just living the party lifestyle, you know, that's all it was. And my girlfriend got pregnant. And even though I was even brought up in like a Christian home, you know, it was just so easy to just be like, oh yeah, like this is just like last ditch birth control. That's all this is.
Yeah.
You know, such an easy lie to believe. You know, even though in me, like I think I knew.
Yeah.
You know, and I completely supported it. I was like, yeah, yeah, just go do that. You know, and then it was done. And like I said, 9 months later, ironically 9 months later, you know, I'm in a drug rehab, and that's where I give my life to Jesus.
Sure.
And that's when it occurs to me what I'd done. Like, that's when it, like, really hits me. I'm like, whoa. You know, and I say really hits me, but I'll tell you this, guys. Like, I gave my life to Jesus, and I knew I was forgiven for that. Like it registered.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, it wasn't the same thing as if you had, like, your 5-year-old child here and you just chose to take their life.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's much more black and white to work through. Like, obviously, probably more devastating in its own ways, you know what I mean? But like, it's taken years to work through that. You know, like, I've been at Thrive for 4 years, and it's only within the last two, it's only been within the last two that I learned the gender, that I named her, that I wrote her a letter, that I had a small memorial service with me and my best friend. Like,
yeah,
cried tears, like, because it's such a, it's it's such a spiritual thing. It's such a, like, I mean, I'm telling you guys, when I started working through it, like, you know, you have that PTSD stuff where you like blocked stuff out. Like, I, you know, I went and started asking my dad questions and, you know, and stuff like that, my mom, and been like, hey, do you remember that day? What happened? You know, because all I remembered, if you would have asked me, what'd you do after the abortion? I would have said, well, we just never really talked about it, moved on. That was that. Like, I think she just came home one day and told me that, you know, it had happened, and that was all. That's literally the memory that was in my mind, right? Check this out. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what do you remember about that day? Because my parents are Christians. They tried to convince me not to do it. And he said, well, you called me and you were really distressed and you were panicking and you were very fearful because you guys had gotten home and she was bleeding out and you didn't know what to do.
And you've totally blanked that out.
Wow. I still don't remember it. Other than my dad sharing with me. Is that something or what?
That is.
This is real stuff, guys.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? Like, this is like, obviously we care about the babies, you know, but there are people walking as sheep to the slaughter, have no idea what they're getting into, what they're doing.
Levi Hart, Senior Investments Officer Manager at Thrive St. Louis, ThriveSTL.org. And tomorrow is the Give St. Louis Day. You can go to GiveSTLDay.org/organization/ThriveSt.Louis, or you can go to the Thrive St. Louis.org website. Will have information.
Thrive Alive STL.org. There'll be a button on there that says Give to Life, when you, that'll link you to the Give STL.
I should have let you do it.
You're great, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and it's good to finally meet you in person, and good luck tomorrow. I hope you guys make it 8 years in a row.
8 years. Here
you're
we come.
You're going to have to call us and give us an update when you win.
Yeah, midnight tonight. That's when the scoreboard will open up.
All right. You are been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
A day after the Missouri State Auditor held a news conference looking for former Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, the NAACP has come forward with concerns of its own.
The St. Louis chapter of the NAACP president, Adolphus Pruitt II, questions the auditor's objectivity. In a news release, he called on the auditor to immediately release the audit report and said, quote, put up or shut up.
I think it paints a picture that you're looking for a wanted criminal. And it's just not the case.
This is just sad. It really is sad as a black person to see the leadership of African Americans that won't stand for excellence and won't call out someone who is completely incompetent and will stand by her at any cost. Tim, the freaking audit is not complete because they can't find Kimberly Gardner. So why are you going to put out an incomplete freaking audit because she's gone AWOL? How much sense does that make?
Why doesn't the, if the NAACP is so concerned about Kim Gardner's reputation, why don't they produce her, right? Why don't they tell her to appear? You know, I mean, if there's nothing to hide and if Ms. Gardner wants to clear her name, then why is she on the lam? Yeah. You know, why can nobody find her? Yeah. You know, I mean, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It at least causes suspicion to be justified.
The state auditor is not making Kimberly Gardner look like a criminal. Kimberly Absolutely. Gardner is making herself look like a criminal because she is refusing to be served papers, and she won't do her duty and at least answer questions about the former office that she held. No one's making Kim Gardner out a criminal. She is doing quite well doing that herself.
You know, Chris, I know Scott Fitzpatrick personally, and there's nothing, the guy, there's nothing nefarious about Scott Fitzpatrick. He is a very serious bean counter kind of a guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a guy that's a political haymaker. He's got a job to do, and he needs Kim Gardner's cooperation to finish the job that he's undertaken.
Exactly.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Exactly. Tim, we know in the New York hush money trial with Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump that the trial is off on Wednesdays. Wednesday is today, of course. And so it's reported from Axios that President Trump will be at Mar-a-Lago tonight for an event for supporters who bought his mugshot edition NFTs, which of course are non-fungible tokens. Trump is expected to join supporters who bought at least 47 Trump NFTs. They're at a cool $99 each, Tim. I know you've got a couple of them. Supporters who bought enough NFTs to get invited to the dinner are supposed to receive, look here, Tim, they're supposed to receive a physical card with a piece of the suit Trump is said to have worn the day he was arrested in Georgia last August. Now, Tim, if you pony up $10,000 worth of NFTs, you get invited to a VIP cocktail reception before the dinner. And, Tim, you'll receive, for your $10,000, you'll receive physical cards with pieces of the suit and tie that Donald Trump was wearing when he was arrested.
Chris, I what do you do with NFTs? Joey, maybe Joey. Joey's kind of hip and cool and young. I bet Joey's got NFTs just all over his spalatial compound.
Non-fungible, so I don't really know what that means.
Okay, I don't mean it sounds good, don't it?
It's really a fungible. It's a JPEG that exists in the cloud.
You're the younger set, Joy. Will these Donald Trump mugshot NFTs, do you think they will be worth some money in the future? Is there a possibility of that?
It sounds like everyone who wants one already bought one, and they're having a good dinner tonight with Trump.
That's a pretty good investment, savvy there.
The suit may be worth something, though. Suit, I could see that being
a you put in item. $10,000, you get a suit, piece of the suit, and the tie. Tim, we're going to close up here. You know, George Soros has bought Odyssey, the number two radio network in the nation. That deal is looked to be go through. George Soros is the man's going to own that. But the Media Research Center, you've heard of them, Brent Bozell, used to see him all the time on Fox News. They have filed a petition to deny they're seeking, and basically they're seeking a waiver, Tim, because George Soros' foreign ownership the station may cause some problems. So the Odyssey George Soros deal is not as smooth sailing as it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see, right?
Exactly.
I mean, so is it going to go? It's going through still.
It's going through, but Media Research Center, they have an objection. Basically, they're saying George Soros is a foreigner, and we should not have communist, commie-lib foreigners owning American radio networks. I think I embellished it a little bit, but I think that's basically the argument.
I think you're making a great point, you know, and I guess we'll see what happens next, right? Yeah. So somebody smarter than us will decide.
I want him to do something about George Soros in this country. Yeah,
apparently they are.
Now, here's something that's scary, too. This was in one of the Talkers magazines that I was one of our trade magazines. Odyssey is coming out with a guide to, quote, bust the biggest myths in media and promote the audio advantage. Now, they're just talking about things about marketing radio, but I could see them turning this into something political as well with George Soros. I just don't trust them.
I agree.
Larry Connors, USA, is up next. Larry's going to have author Cheryl Shumley. She's written a book, Lockdown, Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. And Stormy Daniels' testimony might make you uncomfortable, but Larry has a reason you have to hear. That's on Larry Connors, USA, up next. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.